Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the blessings that you give us. And this morning, as we are doing a little bit different Sunday school, as we're looking at ways that we can aid in helping to save someone's physical life, we trust that that would bring you glory. Thank you for the investment in minds that you have made to be able to develop these kinds of techniques and systems, and for Bill and his willingness to give us an overview, teach us what we need to know to go through this process. And Father, we are blessed because we have these things, and the potential for life saving is real. You know that more than anyone. And we look forward to this being being something that honors you and glorifies you. Thank you for all that you do for us. We love you. And we want to obey you. In Jesus' name, amen. I asked Bill, first of all, don't forget to pick up your books, Person of Interest, so you're prepared to do next week. I asked Bill to give us an overview of the AED and of CPR. And he's got some, what do we call them now, rescue annies?
Just mannequins.
Just mannequins. Not dummies, because they're not dumb. If you want to do some hands-on CPR, I think it's good experience. I've done it a bunch, and I still did it all the time when we had training class, because it's something that is good for you to experience. But the church was blessed with an AED a number of years ago, and so Bill's going to give you an overview on the AED, because the life you save might be mine. And so I wanted Linda to be out here to be able to participate in this, so that someday we're sitting around and I go down and do the funky chicken, she'll have an idea of how to slap the pads on me and potentially save my life. And so since we've been blessed with that, Bill's going to train us on that, or show us how to use it. If we desire, we can do a real certification training class at a later date, not just in Sunday school. So this is important. As a recovering medic, I've done CPR on a bunch of people. It's an interesting thing to do in your life. I guess it was about 2 years ago the last time I did the Heimlich on somebody at Outback. Thought I'd get a free lunch out of it, and I got a thank you. That was it. But we still popped it. Well, I probably would. We still popped the steak out, and he went on and finished his steak and went home. Medics checked him out, and he was fine. But we popped the steak out. So, Bill, come. Thanks for being part of our group. Thanks for the blessing that you are, and for teaching us about AEDs and CPR.
Pastor Rich, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity. This is the first time, I've been teaching CPR since 1974 and certified more than 18,000 folks. So this is the first time that I've ever taught CPR in Sunday school, which is like really cool. So I'm pretty passionate about it. So, you know, the Great Commission says that God's highest calling is saving souls. I believe that God's second highest calling is saving lives. And CPR, cardiopulmonary resuscitation, cardio heart, pulmonary lungs, resuscitate to bring back somebody who is unconscious or clinically deceased. So we have the opportunity to go through an overview. Now, normally, the things that we are talking about today, we cover in a 2.5 to 3 hour course. So I would encourage you, wherever you are, get with Red Cross or the Heart Association, sign up, it's very inexpensive, and spend that 2.5 or 3 hours and go through a full class to cover all of the things in greater detail that we're talking about today in a very superficial way. One of the first things that you do when you come upon a scene or a victim is you want to survey the scene. Number one is your personal safety. We don't want you to risk your life. The victim could be laying in water, there could be you know, power lines there. There could be a snake there, a poisonous snake. You don't know what the situation is. So the very first thing when you come upon a victim is you survey the scene. And there are a couple of things that you need to do to prepare yourself for an emergency. First of all, it's going to be traumatic to you. If that is not your job, you need to take a couple of seconds, no more than 2 seconds. You need to stop and you need to tell yourself, in addition to surveying the scene, number one, that's not me down there. Number two, you didn't cause that person to go down. And number three, you are in a position to help that person. So you need to get your emotion and feelings out of it and totally focus on what you need to do to help that victim. Actually, the Red Cross has not permitted us to use the word victim anymore. The word is patient. That came out a couple months ago. So anyway, we'll use the word patient. So when you come upon a patient, you survey the scene, you make sure that the scene is safe. The next thing that you want to do is you want to shake and shout the patient. You don't want to come upon somebody and start doing CPR on them. You could wind up getting hit in the face or assaulted in some way. So you want to be careful and you want to shake and shout, "Hey, are you okay? Are you okay?" And you also want to see if there's anything coming out of their mouth. You know, is there alcohol, any smoke, anything like that? You want to look in their eyes to see what their pupils are doing. Do they have pinpoint pupils? Are their eyes dilated? That's going to give you a lot of information. So there are three things that we want to do in addition to shaking and shouting. We want to check to see what's going on with the patient. We want to call emergency services. Here in the US it's 911. And then we want to care for the patient. So it's check, call, and care. If a person is unconscious, yes, you definitely need to call 911. That is an unnatural state and you need to get the paramedics rolling as quickly as possible. You don't want to be stuck there for hours doing CPR by yourself. It's not fun, and even after a few minutes, it's extremely tiring. So what we want to do is we find someone unconscious that's unresponsive to shaking and shouting. "Hey, are you okay?" You call 911, adult male. You don't want to say, "Will somebody call 911?" You want to single someone out and have them be responsible and accountable. Go call 911, get the AED and the first aid kit, and then come back. You want to delegate that to somebody who's responsible, who will go get the AED. If you have a first aid kit, of course, we're blessed to have an AED. I don't know any other church that does, which is awesome. You want to make them accountable and come back and tell you, yes, the paramedics are en route. Very good feeling when you know at least they're en route. So, survey the scene, shake and shout, "Hey, are you okay? Are you okay?" They're not responsive. Go call 911, get the AED and the first aid kit. You want to get that AED coming because the sooner, if you have a person that is in cardiac arrest, the sooner you get that AED, the greater their chances of survival. If they go down and you have an AED within the first minute, their chances of survival, depending on the state of their system, is pretty good. That's the very best bet that they have. So, again, survey the scene. Shake and shout. If they're not responsive, you call 911, get the first aid kit and the AED. Then we want to open the airway. Now, this is an audience participation session. So I need a couple of volunteers to work with the two mannequins that we have. Don't be shy. They don't bite. Okay?
I've done this before, but not for like 25 years.
I was going to say, I haven't done
That's okay. And what you learned before, I would encourage you to basically forget it. Okay, because the standards have changed significantly. Having done and taught CPR since 1974, the standards have changed dramatically. And actually, they changed in the last month. So you're going to be learning the latest standards. So if you have an opportunity and you have gloves, go ahead and glove up. Take some time. Red Cross says, yes, you must glove up.
Yeah, but you're not going to have gloves, most of all.
You know, if you got them, it's great. If you don't, you know, don't worry about it. Okay. And actually, I don't like it.
There are some in our AED bag, but I bet they're for tiny hands.
Yeah.
They don't make gloves at the factory that Omar's.
Exactly.
Probably need some black ones.
Yeah. Now, if you have a barrier, which each of you have a barrier, go ahead and take it out of the bag.
I should have done that before.
It's okay, it's a test. Manual dexterity.
Yeah.
It's always good to use a barrier if you can. If you have it available, we want to prevent the transmission of disease. And what you want to do is you want to open the airway, you want to push down on the forehead, and you want to lift up under the chin. We don't do neck lift anymore, we do head tilt, chin lift. Okay? You want to get down, you want to look, listen, and feel for breathing. You want to see if the chest is rising and falling. You want to listen to see if air is being exhaled, and you want to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If there is no breathing, you do not breathe for them. You immediately go to CPR compressions. You use the heel of the hand nearest the head, place it in the middle of the chest on the sternum, following with your other hand, interlock your fingers and pull your fingers back off of the chest. We don't want our fingers to go around the side because you will fracture more ribs than you need to. Now, when you compress a real person's chest, you are going to hear snap, crackle, and pop. That is normal. Do not be upset by that. What that means is you're doing a good job. Okay? So what you're doing is you're basically busting that cartilage around the sternum and you're compressing the chest. And what we're going to do is we're going to position ourselves directly over the victim, lock our elbows absolutely straight, get as close to the victim as you can so your elbows are locked straight, and you want to press down at least 2 inches, okay? And you do 30 compressions at a rate of 100 to 120 times a minute. If you remember the rock group ABBA and the song Staying Alive, or Queen, Another One Bites the Dust, those are... Which is not the one that we really prefer, but Staying Alive is good. So if you think about that song, that is the proper compression rate. Okay, so let's begin. What we're going to do is we're going to do 30 compressions, and then we're going to do 2 ventilations. Okay, ready to begin? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, press harder, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Okay, both of you are doing great. Move your victim a little bit closer to you, and then try and lock your elbows straight. Same thing. Again, if you press straight down, if you have to stand on your tiptoes, it's better than pushing from the side. Okay, it's much easier and you're going to tire a lot less. So after we do those 30 compressions, we're going to go to ventilations. We're going to get our shield. We're going to open the airway, and we're going to get an airtight seal around the mouth and the nose, okay? Really tilting that head back to pull the tongue off the back of the airway and ventilate twice. And what we're going to do is we're going to see the chest rise. You got to make sure that that chest rises. If it doesn't go in, we'll deal with that in a second, okay? So two good breaths. You tilt your head back a little bit. Tilt your head back a little bit more, okay? Put your fingers here. Really tilt that head back. You want the chin over the ears. That's what you want. That's you really need to crank that head back, okay? So after we do our two breaths, we're going to go back and we're going to do 30 compressions again. One and two and three and four and five and six and seven and eight and nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Two breaths. Okay, wonderful. So let's take a break. Are you tired? Okay. Try and think about doing that for a long time. So I guarantee you, if you start doing compressions and you forgot to call EMS, you'll remember.
Yeah. I need it myself.
Now, if you are by yourself, if you're by yourself, okay, it's real easy. Get your cell phone. Punch up 911, put it on speaker, put it right by your patient, and you can talk to dispatch and give them your address and say, hey, I've got a person in cardiac arrest, CPR is in progress, and that'll make things a lot easier. Keep your cell phone with you. It's your lifeline, okay? So, and if you've got a smartwatch, you know, I can tell Siri to dial that emergency number and she will do it. I don't even need my cell phone. I've got it with me, okay? So, you keep doing cycles of 30 compressions and two ventilations. Now, let's say that somebody came back with the AED, okay? So, AEDs are all pretty similar. Okay, here we have a Preston AED, and this is an actual Zoll AED, and they're all pretty similar in function. So what you do is you actually open the lid, you press the button,
remove clothing from the patient,
and all you have to do is follow the directions.
Open packet.
You always do CPR on a bare chest, okay? Bras come off. You can't do CPR over underwires. It just plain doesn't work.
Open packet and apply pads onto patient's bare skin.
You take off the pads and follow the directions.
Shown in the pictures.
Okay, so this one goes on the right side
open
of the chest.
And apply pads onto patient. Press pads firmly on
this
skin.
This one goes on the left side. It's down below
apply
here.
Pads. Press pads firmly on skin. Do not touch the patient, analyzing
so,
heart rhythm.
Stand clear. Don't get
Do
near.
Do not touch the patient, analyzing heart rhythm. Shock advised.
So,
Do not touch
the red
the
light's going to flash. When it does,
flashing shock button.
You say, I'm clear, you're clear, everybody's
press
clear.
The button. Now,
press
shock
the red
deliver.
Button. You'll get a Begin heck of a jump. And then you continue. Two and three. And it's got a metronome. Just follow that.
10. Twenty.
And you get ready to give your two ventilations.
30. Give two breaths.
That's simple. Okay. And you keep going. And you keep going until
10.
Your victim wakes up and says, thank you very much, I owe you a steak dinner. EMS arrives and they tell you to stop, Okay, just because they're walking in the door, don't stop. Keep going because they need to get their gear set up. They'll put on their own AED and go through their protocol. So don't stop until you are relieved by someone of equal or higher training than yourself. Are there any questions so far?
Do they ever do two-man CPR anymore? Is that?
Yes, absolutely. So professional rescuers, absolutely. Yeah, we do that all the time.
What
yeah.
was the question?
So the question was, is two-person CPR still relevant? Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, when EMS arrives, fire crews arrive, absolutely. They'll take a whole team. And that's typically why you have a two-person EMS unit, and they'll dispatch a fire or rescue unit there because you got your hands full. You got your hands full when you're resuscitating somebody. Okay? Those that are here, we've got a handy guide that goes through all of these processes step by step. And those of you that are online, please, in the comment section, put in CPR guide and your email address. And Pastor Rich will email you a copy of this guide within 24 hours. So this goes through all of the steps, recognition of an emergency, how to deal with that, check, call, care, and then what to do actually in cases of bleeding, anaphylaxis, obstructed airway for an adult. Okay, so it's a handy guide, and again, this is just a very brief overview of exactly what we've got going on. So,
our AED has one pad.
Yeah.
It's configured like this, connected, so you can't get it on wrong.
You can't get it on wrong. It's an entire pad, so you unfold it and you lay it over the chest, and it has a big X right here. So it tells you exactly where to compress the chest. But they're all very similar. They, you know, they walk you through it. You just need to make sure, like the Philips AED is very similar to this. It's got separate pads. The Zoll, again, as Pastor Rich said, it's got both of those. So with the time available, what I'd like to do is kind of have you go through a scenario from start to finish, and I will walk you through it. So I need two volunteers.
My brother.
Need two volunteers.
Okay. Well, it's old.
Yeah.
There's one.
You get extra credit for. So, who's my primary rescuer?
Brian.
Okay.
I got volunteer, so yeah.
Okay. Get a shield.
Come here.
Please glove up. So who's
on the floor, so the height problem you're having will be eliminated.
Exactly.
But none of us are getting up off the floor, so we decided not to do that.
So who's going to be my second? Who's going to be my second rescuer?
Right here.
So my question is when they are on the floor.
Yes.
Do you have to be on your knees to do it, or can you bend from the waist to do it? Because I do not get on my knees.
Can you get on your knees?
I do not get on my knees.
But could you? The issue isn't whether you can get up, because I have the same problem.
It would be very painful. I have not been on my knees.
The answer is yes, you can do that. Yeah, you can do it, but can you bend that far down?
Yes, I can.
Okay, perfect. So long as you can compress the chest at least 2 inches, you're good. But how are you going to ventilate? You're going to... That's a stretch. Okay, so there is... Hands only CPR. Okay? So, if you are unwilling or unable to give ventilations, then do hands only CPR. And we will, and you just keep going. The thing about hands only CPR is the concentration of oxygen getting into the bloodstream is not as great as if you're doing your proper ventilations. Okay? So, Brian, you're going to be the primary rescuer. Why don't you come up here? Kate, you're going to be secondary.
Sure.
You're going to be the AED retriever.
Hey, I've done this before.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was my role.
Perfect.
It's kind of like a Labrador retriever, but
the bag was much bigger and heavier before.
Exactly. So, I'm going to walk you through this step by step, just to make sure that we get it perfect. Okay, so Brian, you're going to be coming into the room and you're going to walk in and go, oh, this is not good. We have a person on the ground. Okay, so you're going to survey the scene and make sure it is safe for you to approach. There's no rattlesnake. The person's not lying in water with electrical wires. You determine that the scene is safe. What's the next thing you're going to do?
The mental check-in, the 2 seconds that you're talking about.
Which would be, it's not me, you didn't cause it,
yep.
And you are in a position.
I can help.
Remember, this is God's second highest calling. First is saving souls, second is saving lives.
Yep.
So you're good, right?
Yep.
Okay, so, but you're good. You can help. Okay, what's the next thing you're going to do?
Yo, wake up.
Non-responsive.
Nope.
What are you going to do?
All right. Got someone? You, please grab the AED.
And you're going to call Ghostbusters, or who are you going to call?
Call 911, please. Adult male.
What?
Adult male.
Okay.
Non-responsive.
Non-responsive. Okay.
Calling 911.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so what are you going to do? You're going to check for breathing. You're going to tilt the head back, and you're going to look, listen, and feel for breathing for 5 seconds. Okay. Now, the Red Cross has changed their procedure. You no longer, as a layperson, check the pulse. You don't check the carotid artery. Okay. If the person is not breathing, they are deemed to be in cardiac arrest.
Okay.
So you're going to, for our purposes, assume that that's the case. So you're going to go ahead and check for breathing for 5 seconds. Really tilt that chin back. Head tilt, chin lift, okay? Get your head down there. Look, listen, and feel for breathing and count out loud. 1001, 1002, 1003, 1004, 1005. They're not breathing.
Nope.
What are you going to do? You're going to start compressions. Yep. You're going to do 30 and 2. So go ahead. And get them right close. Get the elbows locked straight. Press straight down, at least 2 inches. Count out loud.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
You get your finger, pull your fingers up like that, so all of your weight is right there.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
A little bit faster.
14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30.
And?
Two breaths.
Right. Get her done. Really tilt that head back. Okay. And what are you going to do?
AED if it's here.
If it's here, but it's not here yet. So 30 compressions.
Still hanging out.
I have to go all the way to Albuquerque.
It's a long way. It's the other room.
Exactly.
It's the South 40. Count it loud.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
It's a little bit too fast.
stay with
the group.
6, 7, 8, 9.
And?
2 breaths.
Quickly, make the transition. Get her done. Thank you. Okay, so Kate has just brought the AED. She has confirmed that EMS has been called. And what are you going to do? First of all, you need to set the AED up near the head of the patient.
Meanwhile, you're still doing compressions.
You're still doing compressions.
You don't get to stop for anything.
Kate, press that green button.
Three.
Follow the directions.
Clothing from the patient's chest.
Always bare the chest. Always bare the chest.
Onto patient's bare skin.
You've got a cheerleader. Come over here and watch this, Harper.
Okay. Onto patient's bare skin.
Good.
Firmly on skin. Apply pads as shown in the pictures.
I put down lower. Put down a little
apply
bit lower.
Pads
yeah.
As
good.
Shown in the picture. Press pads firmly on skin. Do not touch the patient. Analyzing heart rhythm. Do not touch the patient. Analyzing heart rhythm. Shock advised.
Do not I'm clear. You're clear. Everybody's clear.
Nobody's touching.
Press the flashing shock button.
Boom.
Shock delivered. Begin CPR.
Begin CPR. Keep doing 30 and 2. Follow the metronome.
10.
Good. Count out loud.
10.
Follow the metronome.
Can you watch baby for 2 minutes?
20.
Don't make her cry.
30. Give 2 breaths.
Okay. Wonderful. Guess what? The patient survived and says, thank you so very much. I'd like to buy you a steak dinner. Okay? Never happens in real life, but sometimes they do regain consciousness, and so it's a really good thing. So, super job. Well done. Okay. Well done. Super job. Okay. Outstanding.
Can you Harper the cheerleader?
Yay. So, sometimes when you try to ventilate, the air doesn't go in. What do you do? Well, you reposition the head, and you try and ventilate again, okay?
How do you know it doesn't go in?
Because you will feel the air not going in. You will not see the chest rise. That's why when you're ventilating, you always want to use your peripheral vision and look for that chest to rise. That way you know the air has gone in.
If you meet resistance like you're blowing up an early air balloon,
exactly.
It's not going in.
It's not going in, okay? So we go into an obstructed airway scenario. So we're going to deal with conscious obstructed airway and unconscious obstructed airway. May I borrow you?
He's not going to use me because he can't reach around.
Oh no, I choked on PMRV.
So the thing about emergency care is you need to obtain the patient's consent, if they're conscious. So what you're going to do is make sure that you always get the patient's consent to treat them. If they're unconscious, consent is applied. So somebody who's choking is probably going to be grasping at their throat. They may be barely able to pass air. See, maybe they're coughing. Coughing is a good thing. You need to encourage them to continue coughing forcefully. So that's a really good thing. Just continue. Please call 911, obstructed airway. Are you going to call 911? I've got a man with obstructed airway. So get the paramedics rolling as soon as possible. Okay? Even if he's coughing forcefully, you want him to go ahead and roll. Okay? Because he might wind up very soon being on the ground and unconscious. So, you're choking. Are you choking? If they can say they're choking, yes, I'm choking. They're not choking. Okay? Because they're able to move air. They're phonating properly. They're able to pass air across the vocal cords. If they cannot talk to you, that means that they do have an obstructed airway, or there may be a really high pitched sound. So, go ahead. Are you choking? May I help you? Okay, so what you do is you lean, let's move this way. You lean them forward and you deliver five back blows right in the middle mid-scapula. One, two, three, four, five, and you really hit them hard. I'm not, I love Brian, I'm not gonna, really hard. Really, really hard. Just about as hard as you can, okay? You really want it, you want to pop that obstruction out, okay? Then you find their belly button just above the belt, okay? And you deliver five inward and upward abdominal thrusts. I'm not going to actually do it, but you come in, you grab your hand like that, you make a fist. So you make a fist right at the belly button, and it's in and up. One, two, three, four, five. Just that hard. Okay? Chances are it will come out. Thank you. You did a great job. Try not to do that again. So, if the obstruction does not come out, then you have a victim on the ground. If your ventilations did not go in, all you do is you do CPR compressions, okay? You no longer do abdominal thrust down toward the feet, okay? You just do your normal CPR compressions. If you have an obstructed airway, after you have done your 30, you check the mouth to see if there is anything inside the mouth. Now, rule number one is you never put your fingers in the mouth of a conscious person. I have all 10 fingers, and that's because I followed that rule. I did that once and almost nearly lost a finger. So, somebody is unconscious, you do a finger sweep. If it's a child, you do a finger sweep. Chances are you're going to clear that obstruction. CPR is the last chance for someone who is pulseless and non-breathing. It is not a pleasant thing. As I said, you know, when you're compressing the chest, you're going to hear snap, crackle, and pop. That means you're doing it properly. You need to tell yourself and prepare yourself, you know, I'm going to hear snap, crackle, and pop. That means I'm doing a good job. If the person has eaten recently, chances are they're going to vomit because you're blowing air into the lungs, but some of that's going to go into the stomach and it's going to start churning. And if you hear a gurgling sound, you need to roll the patient away from you, not toward you. You only do that once. And you put them in what we call a recovery position. You allow them to vomit. With your gloved finger, if they're unconscious, you do a finger sweep, try and clear out as much of the vomit as you can. You tilt them back, and you attempt to ventilate again. Okay? Are there any questions? Good.
Does the part about when they say you can free yourself if I put them over the chair?
Yes.
Work?
Yes. If you are choking, may I borrow your chair?
Yes, sir.
If you are choking, you can throw yourself over a chair with as much force. Just put it in the epigastrium. Just throw yourself over the chair with great force. And what you want to do is just really increase that abdominal pressure to pop out the obstruction. Okay? Any other questions? Well, you guys, thank you for everybody that volunteered. Did a great job. All of our patients survived, of course. They're batting 100%. And just remember that, you know, really, we are God's tool to help somebody who is in distress. So it's wonderful to have that skill, to be willing and able to use that skill. Don't worry about the liability. Florida in particular has some of the very best Good Samaritan laws. So someone could try to sue you. for breaking their ribs, but the good news is they lived to do it. And the judge will go, get out of here. This is ridiculous. Okay, so don't be afraid to get involved. And the first and foremost thing is, if you're unsure, situation is unsafe, send somebody to call 911. Tell them as much information as possible. Even though we have an E911 system and it gives some information about your location, be very specific about your address. Make sure that the dispatcher repeats it to you. And make sure that you're the last person to hang up. In most cases, if you have your cell phone on speaker, they'll stay online with you until EMS shows up and they will say, thank you very much, and you know, then they will hang up. All right? Again, if you, those of you that are not with us, in the chat box, put CPR guide and your email address. We'll make sure that you get a copy of the guide, which is very, very informative. And I encourage you to call your local Red Cross or Heart Association and go through the formal 2.5 to 3 hour class.
Well, we can provide that for you.
And we can do that here. Absolutely.
Can you touch on really quickly the difference between doing child CPR and adult CPR? I know you don't have child
yes.
dummies and stuff, but...
Yeah, actually, I've got infant mannequins, but you still do 30 compressions and 2 ventilations, and you compress their chest 2 inches. You compress it 2 inches. So it's on a child, it's really the same as an adult. Infants, different.
Just don't need as much force.
Not as much force, yeah. But you still need to compress that chest 2 inches. Yeah, basically. I mean, you can do a single hand.
I was taught single typically. Hand, that's why I
you can do a single hand. The real issue is getting compressing even the child's chest 2 inches. They change that. So if you need 2 hands, I mean, some children, you know, children that are going through pre-puberty or in puberty, yeah, you need 2 hands. I mean, they're basically an adult. At 50 pounds is really the transition. About 50 pounds is the guideline.
If they're infants, maybe with your thumbs or with 2 fingers.
Exactly. With an infant, now it's circling the chest with 2 thumbs. And the rate is a little bit more rapid.
That's as fast as you can go.
Exactly. Okay. Thank you very much for your time and kind attention. It's been a pleasure. Thank you. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving this opportunity to be together and for being able to talk about life-saving skills. Please be with us as we go out into the world and give us the strength and the willingness to focus on helping those who cannot help themselves. We know that this is your second highest calling. Please be with us during church and be with Pastor Rich and be with those who are not with us and give us a great week. Thank you for everything that you do, gracious Heavenly Father. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to this teaching on demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. Please consider sending us an email at info@friendshipgracebrethren.com to let us know how this teaching may have helped you. Please also consider joining us in person at Friendship Grace Brethren Church, located at 10251 Metro Parkway, Suite 116, Fort Myers, Florida, just south of the intersection of Metro and Colonial Boulevard. Sunday school begins at 9 and worship service at 10 a.m. We look forward to seeing you in person at Friendship Grace Brethren.